Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And joining us right now, a man who played in that conference for Purdue, former New England Patriot Matt Light, is on the Harbor One hotline. And we spoke yesterday, and he was rather disgruntled about college football in general and its fate. And so Maddie is on the show this morning. Hey, Maddie, how are you?
Well, good morning, sir.
What's happening?
Oh, just another beautiful day here in sunny Foxborough, living the life.
What is your when it comes to college football, where do you stand this morning? I mean, yesterday I know you were worried about it. It seems like maybe the tide is turning a little bit.
Well, it seems as though there is this kind of crazy effort in the world to shut things down. So I'm kind of leaning towards a lot of people that are in the positions of power not doing the right thing and, you know, canceling a season and creating a whole lot of fear. That's where I'm at right now. Now, I'm hoping that doesn't go that way, but we've seen a number of conferences make that decision. And, you know, unfortunately, that is the talk right now.
Wiggy says that, and this echoes what a lot of players are saying, that he thinks that those athletes are actually safer at college playing football, participating in that program, than they would be at home.
Well, I think Nick Saban said that recently, right, in an interview, that, you know, players are safer at, you know, Alabama than they would be, you know, at home in some cases. I could see where that point could be made. I mean, when you're part of an organization, there's protocols, there's things that, you know, people keep an eye on that maybe would be overlooked or just not done to the detail that they do it in some of these bigger organizations. And I think that for the most part, even if a coach has a feeling of, you know, this isn't that big of a deal, they don't ever let that, you know, get in the way of, you know, their program and the guys that, you know, they're in charge of. And so they are taking this very serious. So I would tend to agree with that statement.
Now, Matt, I think the one thing, you're a former college athlete, and you know that there are going to be upperclassmen in there, or if you were an upperclassman telling these guys, hey, listen, we're trying to play football. We got our goal at the end of the week and playing in games on Saturdays. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to play in some type of championship. So I think by being on campus, there's going to be that accountability for some of these younger players to not do some of the things that could potentially put the rest of the team at risk.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that, you know, for anybody that doesn't look at this situation that we're in right now and realize, you know, the one mistake will ruin it for everyone. I mean, they're blind, right? So, yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, some of the upperclassmen will hold, you know, the rest of their crew accountable because, you know, they want to play football. I mean, how many kids have been sitting around, whether they're at the college or high school level or even elementary for that matter, that are just tired of doing nothing, right? I mean, I don't know that there's been a time in the world's history that kids are looking forward to going back to school and playing sports and doing things more than they are now.
You also have some seniors who theoretically, if there were no season, may not end up with the opportunity to advance and play in the NFL. I mean,
it's going to be difficult for that. Matt, when you look at your situation, you were a guy that was drafted. If you were in this position, and a lot of people, and this is why I think spring football would be watered down, there'd be a lot of players who just would decide not to play and focus on combines, pro days, and getting ready for the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's the difficult thing about now, right? It's not just the idea of do I play, do I not play, or is it safe, is it unsafe? You know, these athletes and everybody in general has been affected for quite some time now, right? I mean, it's amazing that, you know, we're looking at, you know, 6, 7, 8 months of what's been, you know, just the uncertain and the unknown. But that's the same for all these guys. They missed their spring practice. They've missed so much of what it takes to be a college athlete, or for that matter, a professional athlete or any athlete, that it's going to be tough for them to make that up. As a matter of fact, they can't make it up. And I think that's one of the things that resonated with me yesterday, Greg, was when, you know, you talk about, hey, this isn't time that we're getting back. I mean, you know, whether you're on the older, you know, scale in life,
like,
or
me,
you're a college football player, you
like
know,
me.
And I'm not that you're on the older scale, Greg.
I'm on life's back nine. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm MS.
Yeah, but these kids aren't getting it back though, right? I mean, they're not getting these opportunities. And, you know, I think that, you know, for a situation like we're in now, we have enough knowledge to know that, you know, people can make good decisions. When we keep taking the decision-making process out of the hands of the people and we put it into the control of the very few, the elite, you know, the politicians or whoever it may be, aren't we losing the heart and soul of this country when we say that we're not able to make sound decisions? We need others to make it for us. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what has me the most disappointed in where we are now.
You're upsetting Ken. You are upsetting Ken right now, Matt.
Well, what's wrong with the spring plan?
Well,
what's the rush? We should
get upset.
Why not push it to spring, Matt? It makes all the sense in the world. You'll get fans in the spring. The kids won't lose anything. It's perfect.
Well, because the virus just disappears in the spring, right? Or they magically come up with a cure in the spring, right, Ken? I mean,
well, it's not magic. Well, it's
the deal,
science.
Right?
It's a vaccine.
Yeah, and that science has worked really well for things like the flu and, you know, other
actually
viruses that are, you know, contracted by, you know, just touching things and being alive and being human.
Well, I mean, Joe Burrow tweeted yesterday that if this happened to him, he might not have a job. And I guess there are some who are probably going to say, well, what's the issue with waiting a year? But I mean, isn't that a legitimate concern, is that you wait a year, you don't make it to the NFL?
Well, yeah, that's Joe Burrow was a projected fifth round pick before the season started. So now does he make the decision of playing? And you know, Matt knows this. He has to now weigh his options. Do I play in the spring? Because the NFL is not changing their plan. They're not going to move the draft, and you know, they're not going to change the combine. They're still going to kind of go off on their schedule as planned. And now Burrow and guys have to make decisions. Is it worth me playing, or do I just try to get ready and see if I can get to the next level?
Yeah, and that you know, look, the disruptive nature. I mean, football players especially are creatures of habit. I mean, you know, coaches are, you know, drilling things into you during the season, during the off season. I mean, every day has a purpose as you, you know, relate to, you know, the sport and your job and your role. And when things get as mixed up as they have been, it's really hard for guys to bounce back from that. I mean, you know, look, if we were able to watch football right now, it would look very odd. It would take a while for these guys to get their mindset right, to get into shape and all these things. They've had a lot of time, but it's not like they've been using that time to become better football players. So we've already have a system that's compromised. And if we keep pushing this thing back, it doesn't get better.
Just curious, Matt, do you wear a mask? I have this fear, this vision of you rambling through stores maskless all over New England.
Yeah, no, listen, I want people to see this beautiful face, man. I can't cover it up. It's not going to happen. You know, here's the thing, right? I respect anybody's decision to wear a mask or not wear a mask. You know, the science is real clear on masks, right? There's no need to interpret it whether it helps save lives or not. It doesn't. It has no real effect. It makes you feel comfy and warm inside, maybe, but it doesn't do anything, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So I try to remove things in my life that are useless, right? You know, I don't need to focus on things that don't move the needle. And, you know, especially when you have a situation like here in Massachusetts, right? So I spend the summer in Ohio. There's a whole lot of free thinking, you know, creative people that don't drink the Kool-Aid and live life at its fullest. And then there's the other side in some of the bigger cities and on the coast where, you know, you need your governor to tell you that if you're in your backyard with your family plus the neighbor, that you're going to have to wear a mask or you're going to get fined. Again, I think we're better than that. I think this country was founded on principles that don't just say, hey, when somebody tells you to do something, even if you look around and know that there's not a fire, don't believe them when they say there's smoke, right? I mean, come on. We're better than this.
We should be mad, but we're not. And the thing that frustrates me more than anything is there's no, like, method to the madness. All I remember is flatten the curve. So we flatten the curve, and then what does the governor of Massachusetts do? He pulls back on stuff. So, and they don't have any explanation for it. And it's the same way with college football. Greg brought up this point the other day. Last week, they were saying, all right, here's all conference-only games, Big Ten. This is what we're going to do. And now they're shutting it down. What changes in a week that they make this decision to shut it down rather than they're just scared of the optics and what people are going to say?
Yeah, and it is. It's fear, right? I mean, I keep wrestling with this. Like, what can I do? Like, you know, how can I, you know, make a difference in such a crazy time? But when you're battling fear, it's really hard because people do have real concerns. I mean, you know, if you speak anything to the opposite of what is, you know, being pumped into, you know, our lives by the media and politicians, if you say anything to the contrary, then people say, well, you don't value others' lives. You don't take this serious. No, I do take it serious. I understand that there is a bug out there. There's a virus and it is causing harm to certain people, no doubt. But it does not warrant what we're looking at right now. The data clearly points to that. And so when they keep saying something different, then there's some other reason. I don't care to really know what that reason is. I'm just saying, you know, we're pretty strong-willed people here in the U.S. We need to start acting like it. You know, we need to start asking questions, demanding, you know, that our politicians and everybody around us, whether it's our boss or anyone else, can clearly articulate why it's important to be doing what they say we need to do. I mean, that's not a crime to do that. And not everyone can do that. I realize that. But if you are in a position where you can speak up, let your voice be heard. You know, if you're in a position of leadership within your company, don't continue to spread the fear. Stand up and say what's on your mind. And I think that if more people do that, we'll get through this a lot easier and a lot better than what we currently are facing in this country.
But that, I got to tell you, when you say what you said about masks, you ought to see the text messages. People are infuriated with you. This texter wants a wellness check on Ken. They're worried that Ken is passed out in the other room right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, that person is cruising around right now in their Kia Sedona with a mask on by themselves. And, you know, people like me are passing them going, why? What are you saving? Your dash? Like your steering wheel? Like who's being affected in your van all by yourself? I mean, it is kind of, it's crazy, right? Like we're looking at crazy times. And the only way to get through crazy times is to communicate and hopefully change the fear into knowledge and then normalcy. I mean, we need to go from knowledge to normalcy and not the other way around.
But then you have, like, this person says, congratulations, Matt Light has finally pushed me to the point where I can't listen anymore. Oh. Because I guess they disagree with your POV, and so they don't want to hear it, I guess.
Yeah, well, and again, I mean, look, I mean, everybody's different, right? I tend to be more on the independent side than most. Again, if you want to protect yourself, you know, and you really, really feel strongly about this thing being bad, don't leave your house. I mean, the government's given you a lot of reasons not to go to work, and, you know, they're offsetting, you know, with trillions and trillions of dollars. But for the rest of us that want to wake up every day and live life, because maybe we don't have very many years left, Greg. I mean, but, you know, at the end of the day, for those of us that want to wake up and work and go after it, let's go get it. And I just don't feel like this is the time to sit here and say, I'm not living my life. I've turned that corner. I'm living my life. I'm going after it. And thank God there are places, you know, that are open and are, you know, functioning at a high level, but there's not a whole lot. And right. That's going to have a drastic effect on the rest of this country. I have a bad feeling that it's going to take a long time to recover, you know, from what we've already been through, let alone what they're trying to drag us through down the road here.
But the problem is, Matt, is the other side, when you disagree with them, they don't even want to have a conversation. They'll instantly turn to like people like Ken and Dale that are on the show.
Dale threw his radio out the window when he heard Matt talking earlier.
They'll instantly turn to, like you said, Matt, is, you don't care about the 160,000+ people that have lost their lives, but they only have this energy for certain things. I don't hear them, you know, shouting at the rooftops when there's shootings in school and kids, and I don't hear them wanting to shut schools down. So to me, it's fraudulent. And I think that's what we're living in these times, is you see all the frauds are starting to show their true colors.
Yeah, and you know, Wiggy, I don't like being lied to either. I mean, here's what I do know. I believe, you know, the people like my brother who runs an ER in Columbus. I believe, you know, the countless other doctors and nurses that I talk to and their viewpoint on what they're seeing in real time. I don't believe what the news tells me. I know for a fact that the numbers aren't real. That, you know, every time they say there's a new case, which, again, like, please, if you're listening to this and you have a difference of opinion, please ask yourself why in the world anyone on earth should care how many people contract COVID. It's the number they're using to scare everybody into their homes and putting masks on in their backyard. But the question should be, why in the world should I care? I don't care, and no one should. The better question is, are people dying? You know, is this thing, you know, mutating into something that we can't treat? Because they can treat it. You know, now, does it work for everyone? Of course not. But we're not living in a world where something has to work for everyone. There is no magic pill for anything on earth. So, again, you know, I just think you got to ask the right questions. You got to look at this. And at the end of the day, like I said, you know, to start this little rant off here, it's not real. I don't like being lied to. And I think that that's at the heart of, you know, this country. We don't like being lied to. We don't like being forced into submission. And it's time that we get back to acting like real Americans.
Preach.
America.
Wow. I have a very important question to ask that is going to sound very stupid after your rant there, but I agree with you. But my question is, Matt Light, in the prime of your career, you have one season.
Is this going to be a Brady versus?
Stop. Just let me get it out. Let me get it out. Matt, you have one season. You have to pick one person on that team. You can either have Tom Brady as your quarterback or Bill Belichick as your coach. Which do you choose?
Oh, man. I'll take them both.
Oh,
but,
no. If you had to pick one, which would you pick for just one season? One season for glory.
I think you got to go with Bill, and I answer that one, you know, and I'll give you an answer. I think you got to go with Bill, and here's why, right? It took me a while, even in retirement, to look back and really appreciate the job that a coaching staff has to do. I mean, I appreciated my coaches. There's a few of them that would tell you that I didn't potentially, but for the most part, I did. And, you know, the job that these guys do and being in retirement and being in the real world and trying to organize and motivate and keep people on track, you know, it's not easy. And when I think back on the job that Bill did and the consistent, you know, approach that he took to each and every day, it really is amazing. I mean, people that have been around him write books around it, about it. You watch, you know, the moves that he makes and you're scratching your head going, that makes no sense. And then they win a championship and it's pretty mind-boggling. And the fact that, you know, I did play a season without Tommy, and it wasn't a great season, but it was a good season. And so, you know, no disrespect to my man, number 12, but, you know, Bill, you know, and Bill we trust, right? I mean, God love him.
We'd be on different teams because I'm going with Tom.
Wiggy's going with Tom.
All right. Oh, no. Hey, listen, man, and I'll tell you, I don't think there's a guy, and this is just my personal opinion, not that I've talked to the guy because, you know, he's pretty busy trying to win games and he's on to Cincinnati, but, you know, I don't believe that a guy like Bill Belichick, given the work that he puts into every single day in preparation, really wants to play a season like this one. And that's my personal belief. I mean, I just don't think it's possible. You know, there's no certainty. Here's a guy that, you know, plans and prepares and knows all the variables and understands how to play within the rules and, you know, push things to the nth degree. But all that's out the window right now. There's zero certainty. There's zero understanding that the work that he's putting in right now will pay off in November, because November, there may not be any football. There may not be football in October. So it's real hard for a guy like Bill Belichick, I think, to be able to prepare and get excited to put in the effort for a season like this.
I've heard some say that they think that Bill probably does not want to play this season because it's unlike the normal season, and that he probably wishes there were no football this year.
Well, I mean, can't you see that, though, right? Like, you're the best. You're the best at what you do. You want to play the best. You want people to push you. You want people to, you know, challenge you and what you've done, and you're looking at this as a challenge? Come on. This isn't a challenge. This is a nightmare. This is, like, the worst possible scenario for a coach like Bill Belichick. So, again, not as if, you know, he's told me, hey, I don't want to play the game, but I'm going to tell you right now, it'd be hard for me to see him fired up to go into a season like this one.
Yeah, without a quarterback.
Hey, but by the way, honestly, I think he's licking his chops. If it was normal, you know, if it was a normal time and it was a season and he's got the ability to go out there and, you know, try new things and expand. I mean, look, the guy has a thirst for knowledge. He keeps track and takes notes of every second of every day. He references all those things. I mean, somebody that driven looks at something like losing the best quarterback of all time and says, game on, let's go. I mean, trust me, he's not afraid of that.
Hold my beer, as the saying goes.
Yeah. Hold my beer. There we go.
All right. Well, listen, I'm glad you called.
But before we let Matt go,
yes.
Mrs. Light would just like to clarify something, yes, as it pertains to Matt's I don't wear masks statement.
Yes.
She said she wants to clarify that Matt does not go into stores.
Oh. Okay.
Mrs. Light does do 99.9% of all, you know, domesticated life.
Yes.
Yes.
That's also the recovery rate for COVID, isn't that important?
All right. Matthew, great to talk to you. We'll talk soon, all right?
You too, guys. Stay strong.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.